want to welcome each of you here this afternoon. We're glad you're here. It's a little bit difficult to find the right words to use for an occasion like this. If I say this is something we've been looking forward to a long time, that doesn't sound so good. If I say this is something we've been dreading, that doesn't sound so well either. So it's a little hard to find the right words, but we're thankful that the Lord has led us. And we're thankful that He is in control, that He is our God, and we can trust Him and rest in His care and in His promises. Just for those of you who were here earlier and heard that Henry Eicher's little boy got run over, there are no broken bones, so praise the Lord for that. All right, I think we'll bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we want to thank You today for the way that You lead our lives. You've led us all the way, and we thank You for that. We thank You that we can trust in You and how sweet that is. You trade Your joy and Your peace and Your rest for our sinfulness when we come to You and our neediness, O Lord. We confess before You our neediness this day, and we pray, God, that You continue to go before us. We pray that You guide us, that You lead us. Continue, Lord, to work in us and among us, that Your name be lifted up and made great in our world. Lord, we pray that You be with each one that has responsibilities this afternoon. We pray, God, that You just have Your hand in all of it, that Your name be exalted, and that Your kingdom be increased. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to give glory to God this afternoon for His goodness, for His wonderful provisions for us, for mankind, and for the church, which Scripture says that He has purchased with His own blood. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a real privilege to be able to share a Scripture this afternoon. If you have your copies of the Scriptures with you, I invite you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. When we talk about or think about this event this afternoon, it's not about Tom, it's not about Dana, it's not even about Calvary Chapel. It's about Christ. We are His body, this is His church, and we have the privilege of being a part of the body of Christ. Those of us in ministry have the responsibility and the privilege of being stewards over the household of God. And we're talking this afternoon about a transfer of stewardship, transfer of responsibility, and of authority. But we want to draw our attention at the outset here to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature that is under heaven, of which I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, of which I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. For this I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. What a grand explanation or expose here of who Christ is, and the challenge and the glory that is in Christ, and the challenge that we have to be included in that heavenly body, that heavenly being, and to experience these tremendous truths that we read about here, being made partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, having been delivered from darkness and transferred into the kingdom of His Son, having redemption through His blood, and the description of Christ being far above dominion and principalities, and all things being created by Him and for Him, and all things consisting through Him. Tremendous words here to help describe the glory of Christ. But I'd like for us just for a moment here, look at verses 28 and 29. Because those who find themselves with the levels of responsibility and in the church, those who are in the ministry, someone has described verse 28 and 29, the prayer and the passion and the goal of every pastor. That we might preach, that is Christ, preaching Christ, the mystery of Christ, the revelation of Christ, the hope and the glory of Christ, warning every man. You realize that is a responsibility of pastoral ministry, is to warn, to preach, to warn, to teach in all wisdom. Now there'll be times, Brother Dana, when you don't feel like you qualify for that, with all wisdom. But the wisdom that we seek is first peaceable, easy to be entreated. It's from above. It's God's wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. So we preach, we warn, we teach in all wisdom, for the purpose that we may present every man mature in Christ. The building up of the body, the maturing of both the individual Christian and the body of Christ. Verse 29, for this I also labor. Labor. And if you look at the life of the Apostle Paul and his ministry, it was a labor. It was a labor of love. It was a labor of suffering. It was a labor of zeal. It was a labor untiring, unending, unfinished until the Lord took him home. It was a labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. And I think that is the beautiful balance. We work, but we do not do the work. Christ in us works through us. Until we learn the secret of abiding in Christ and allowing Christ to work through us, we end up many times spinning our wheels, getting tired, frustrated, burned out, and spent and taxed. I close with this thought, which has been very helpful for me through the years, Dana. Since I first heard it, I was at a preacher's conference a number of years ago. And I remember a well-known preacher getting up and making this statement at the beginning. Preachers, please stop working for God. And that set me back on my seat, which was what the statement was intended to do. Because I thought that's what we were supposed to work, what we were supposed to do is work for God. You know, we sang it, work for the night is coming and no man can work. And as he developed his subject, the bottom line was stop working for God and start allowing God to work through us. A subtle difference, but oh so profound in the difference. So Dana, Brother Dana, I wish you that the Lord will bless your ministry and work in you and through you mightily as you work and labor in the Savior's church. Lord bless you.
Welcome all of you here this afternoon. Thank you for coming. I know that many of you are visitors and we welcome you and we're glad that you're here. We've chosen to have an ordination, the actual ordination, at the beginning of the service and before the message. And so we would like to do that at this time. I'm going to ask Dan and Gina if you would stand. Dear Brother Dana, you have been chosen of the Lord and His church to serve in the office of Bishop and Senior Pastor here at Calvary Chapel. Will you accept this service as a call from the Lord and give yourself to it with all diligence of mind and holiness and faithfulness of life?
I will.
Sister Regina, you will be a blessing to the church as a supporting servant with Brother Dana in this sacred responsibility by your own commitment to Christ and His Word, and by encouraging your husband in this ministry, by holding confidences discreetly, and by being a spiritual example before our church families. Do you share with your husband in his sense of call to this ministry and promise to support him faithfully by God's help? I'm going to ask you to kneel, and I'm going to ask the rest of the brethren and wives if they would come, and we're going to gather around them for the reading of the charge and also in the prayer of dedication. Brother Dana, you have publicly accepted the office of bishop and senior pastor in the Church of Jesus Christ here at Calvary Chapel. To this work, we now, in the name of Christ and His Church, do consecrate and commission you. It will be your duty to preach the Word of God with all diligence, promoting and defending the pure doctrine of salvation. It shall be yours to oversee and administer faithfully the affairs of the congregation, including being a pastor to pastors. You shall see that the ordinances of the church are rightly performed by you or those who minister under your direction, receiving into the church by baptism those who repent and believe, administering the communion of the Lord's Supper, providing the service of Christian marriage and Christian burial of the dead. The sick and the bereaved shall be comforted, the troubled shall be counseled. Those who persist in transgression must be disciplined. Indeed, unto you recommit all the duties belonging to a faithful steward in the house of the Lord. Therefore, give heed to yourself. Do not be self-willed, not soon angry, but sober, just, holy, and temperate, holding fast the doctrine once delivered to the saints. Be a faithful shepherd of the flock of God, so that at last you may be received by the great shepherd of the flock with well done, good and faithful servant. May God, who has called you to this high and holy calling, anoint you with His Holy Spirit and give you grace and wisdom, and bless you in all things through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity this afternoon to see you at work. Lord, this congregation has been through a process, and this seems to be the answer to many prayers and several years of seeking and searching. Now we come to this point, and we thank you, Lord, that you have called faithful men into your service, into the ministry. Lord, we thank you for Brother Dana and his companion. We thank you for Brother Tom and Sister Marjorie. And we see, Lord, this as being significant in the life of this congregation, being a biblical thing that we're doing here, to see that which has been committed to faithful men, committed to other faithful men who may be able to teach others also. And so, Father, I pray for Brother Dana and Sister Regina. I ask, Lord, that you will lay your mantle and your anointing upon them for such a time as this. We ask them, Lord, ask you, Lord, that you would fill them with all of the graces of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit, and may the Word of God rise up within them and be used as their sword, and may the faith of Christ be their shield. May they put on the armor of God to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And Father, we pray that you will give them a love for God and a love for people, a love for your church that would be a supernatural love that would go beyond and further than anything that they can in themselves accomplish as they love and shepherd the flock here at Calvary Chapel. Lord, we ask that you would establish their ministry, you would establish their credibility in your way, Lord, that the congregation will respond to their leadership and their ministry as they see God at work in their lives for the glory of Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we do certainly thank Thee for each of the brethren in this circle and their lives and their service to this church. And pray for your special blessing in the days to come upon Brother Tom Sister Marjorie as they enter this new phase of their life. But right now, we're here to invoke your special grace and blessing upon Brother Dana. I just pray especially that you give us special grace to handle your word correctly. And I pray also, Lord, that you give him special grace that he would keep himself moral and pure, that he would always be faithful to his wife as long as she would live. That by so doing, he would set an example for all who come in contact with him. I pray for a special hedge of protection around Sister Regina and each of her children. And I just pray that you would give special grace to them, that each one of them would come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and that he would be an asset to this family ministry. And finally, Lord, we just commit this couple and this congregation into your care to be used for your glory in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Loving Father, God of truth, continue this prayer. I thank you for this privilege of being part of this circle. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our congregation with the ministry. Tom and Marjorie over the years, and Lord, we have years to look forward to with Dan and Gina. Continue leading. Lord, I thank you for blessing Dan and Gina with the heritage that you bless them with. Lord, my thoughts and just go with famous dads not being here. But they're looking down and they're thanking you for what you're doing and with Dan and Gina. And giving them this position, this responsibility and leadership here at Calvary Chapel. Lord, I pray for us as a church family that we would come under support in Dan's ministry and leadership, that we would be the supporting ministry team and congregation that you want us to be. Pray you would give them the grace and that they would sense your presence in the whatever you have for the future for them, that they would be able to draw strength from you and draw strength from us as a brotherhood as well. Lord, we depend on you. We ask that you would continue to guide and direct the congregation. It is our desire that we make your name great, that we bring you honor and glory. We know that the name desire and willingness to do that. Pray you would give him strength and grace in the days ahead. Thank you, Father, for leading and directing us. Ask your continued presence on our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
There's also a charge that I would like to read to us as a congregation. Not only does Brother Dan and Sister Regina have a tremendous responsibility, but we do too, all of us do. And this is what I'd like to say to all of us as a congregation. Beloved brothers and sisters, let us receive our bishop and senior pastor with joy. look upon him as chosen of God and appointed over us in this important work. Pray for him and manifest toward him the full measure of that great love which the gospel requires. When he declares unto us the word of God, let us receive the truth, seek to obey, and submit ourselves unto him. Hebrews 13, verse 17 tells us that he watcheth over your souls as one that must give an account, that he may do it with joy and not with grief. Acknowledge him as one laborer among us who is over us in the Lord, admonishing us and teaching us the way of life everlasting. In 1 Thessalonians 5:13 it says that we should to esteem him highly for his work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. May God bless you and keep you as his own dear church, and finally bring us all to his eternal rest through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be honor and praise and glory forever. Amen. I'm going to ask our people here at Calvary Chapel that if you can commit to that charge, would you show up by standing? Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Tony to come and lead us in another song.
I'd like to ask Brother Steve if he would come at this time. We've appreciated Brother Steve over the years, and we've had a good friendship, and appreciated that very much. And Steve is, and both Steve and Todd have helped us as we've worked through this process, and it's just been a real privilege that Steve was able. He has a several hour drive to come, but he consented to come today and bring the message this afternoon. So let's just pray and ask the Lord to guide him. Our loving Father, we thank you. We thank you for your wonderful, wonderful blessings. And we just ask now, Lord, that you would guide our dear brother as he ministers to us, that your Holy Spirit would use him and just really bless him, Father. And may we listen, and may we do what we hear. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, brother.
I wasn't expecting myself to be as emotional as I am at this moment. I was very touched by the hymn that we sang. I might suggest, Dana, perhaps you already have it memorized. I think it'd be a good one to memorize, and I don't know if you're a singer. One of the releases I have in my ministry is singing when I'm alone. I like to sing. I'm not all that bad at singing, but I do like to sing when I'm alone. I also can't help but think and note that as Brother Tom read that charge to you, did you notice how many times he used the word us? Now that was significant. He was placing himself underneath Dana's authority when he did so. Now that's quite a step. That really is. I admire Tom for doing that. I know he will do that. As good as I know Tom, you will do that faithfully. Tom has been such a good man and a very close friend in the ministry to me, and he will continue to be so and do so. But Dana, having said that, if my memory is correct, you are the very same age that I was when I received this office. Very same age. I had two little girls is all I had, though. You got a larger family than I. But I remember thinking so much that I was the new kid on the block. I felt so young because I was surrounded by so many older men. and I'm glad I was, but it's something to think of older people kind of coming under your authority. It's really kind of mind-boggling. But let me say this. Be careful how you use that authority. You have a leadership team here. There have been just very, very few times in my experience where I kind of had to take a stand alone. Take this team with you. You're not in it alone. You may find those rare times when you may need to make a decision and you may need to do it alone, but it would be rare, I would expect. But in that sense, I was blessed by Tom and the way he handled that. And Tom, you did a good job of handling and planning this service. Every man, woman, boy, or girl who answers the call to make Jesus Christ their Savior and Lord receives a second call from that same Savior, and that is the call to serve. Now that call takes on many different pictures and scenarios. But just as Jesus Christ calls us to yield ourselves to Him, He also then longs for us to serve Him. And He calls us to do that. Now you have put a lot of thought and time into choosing leaders in your church. I'm blessed to be a part of much of that. However, many of you, or very few of you rather, will ever be in this kind of a public calling. This is a very public call, what Dana's experience is, and very few of you will have this kind of a call to serve. Now, that puts a lot of attention on Brother Dana. But this afternoon, I'm going to shift that away, if I may. I'd like to talk to all of you. I'd like to talk to you as people, whether you're from this church or visiting. I want the message to focus on you. I really appreciated the message this morning. Todd, you did a wonderful job. And I felt the Lord really honored your heart in setting the stage for this church. But I'd like to ask all of you this afternoon, have you heard and answered the call of Jesus Christ to serve? Have you heard it? Have you answered it? I would hope that as you remember this ordination, and I remember all the ordinations in our congregation, I remember every one. Person was ordained and that sort of thing. But when you think of Dana's ordination, I'm hoping that what you remember is that God also spoke to you and called you. Oh, I pray that will happen today. That's what this afternoon is all about while we're together. Dana, you're not going to get very far without a group of people called a local church. And so I hope you don't mind if I'm not going to look at you all afternoon. Maybe you're relieved. But I really want to invite your attention to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. You may be surprised at the text I've chosen for this. I surprised myself. But I'm going to use here in Luke chapter 5, the first 11 verses, and I would like to read them at this time. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. May the Lord bless this passage to our hearts and to our minds this afternoon. This account in Luke's gospel is not to be confused with the first time that Jesus called Peter, James, and John to serve him. This is not the first time. I used to think it was. And this winter I discovered it wasn't. So you're never too old to learn. This is not the first time they were called to leave their nets and follow Jesus. Now you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'd like to show you from the other Gospels what I mean. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. And I'd like to read an account here in Matthew chapter 4. And I'd like you to be comparing it to the account that I just read to you in Luke. Here in Matthew chapter 4, I'm going to start reading at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in his ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, if you notice carefully, something that I've missed all of my life, in this account, Simon and Andrew were casting their nets in the sea. They were fishing. They were out fishing. James and John were in a ship mending their nets. And they heard the call. And they answered the call, and they followed Jesus. The very same account that I just read to you in Matthew now is also found in Mark. So quickly go there. It's worth your while to do this quick Bible study. Quickly go to Mark chapter 4, and let me read this one. This is the same account as the one I read in Matthew. And I read it again so that you can I can make a point, which I think you will get in just a moment. Okay, Matthew, excuse me. Mark chapter 1, I said 4. I knew I looked at 4 and it was wrong. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net, this very same as Matthew, for they were fishers. And Jesus saith unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father, Zebedee, in the ship, and with the hired servants, and went after him. So these two are the very same accounts. This happened shortly after the temptation of Jesus, very early in Jesus' ministry. This account happened. Jesus saw, met these men, called them, and they answered the call, and they left their ships, and they went and followed Jesus. Now, we'll go back to Luke one more time, and then we'll stay there. Let me read again from Luke. And notice the difference in verse 2. And Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Well, now this is a different scene. They're not casting their nets. They're not mending their nets. They're not even in the ships. They're on the shore. And they're washing them. What does that tell you? We have two different scenes painted here in the gospel. Never saw that before. Evidently, early in Jesus' ministry, he called these men to follow him, and they followed him. But for whatever reason, and we are not told why, they went back to fishing again. And that's what we have now in Luke. Here they are, they're back fishing again. And it's important that you understand this, or you really will not grasp the meaning of Luke here, what he's trying to get across to us. Here they are, back there, fishing and doing what they had left. Totally different scene. Several weeks later, I don't know exactly how long. It couldn't have been just too long. But they're back to fishing. And not only that, they're not doing a very good job of it. They fished all night and caught no fishes, as we sing. It was a total failure. They went back to fishing. It was a total failure. Now, I'm not a fisherman. And I don't mind if you are, but I am not a fisherman. You know why? I don't have the patience for it. If I have a pole and a bobber and a hook, I like to throw it out on that lake. And if not, if I don't see that bobber going up and down in 15 minutes, I'm out of patience. I want to throw the worm out there and see that thing go under pretty quick. And if it goes 15 minutes, I'm like, well, let's go over here. They must be over here. You know, I'm fishing over here. But to spend a whole night fishing and catch nothing, I couldn't handle it. I'm just not made for fishing. So I look at these men, and they were fishermen. And they knew how to fish. And they had fished all night and caught nothing. Now that's the background for what's going to happen now in the rest of the text. The first thing I'd like you to notice is in verse 3 from Luke 5, Jesus takes command of the ship. You see that in verse 3 of Luke 5. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Now, that's not a rebuke. That's not Jesus' way. He just gets into the ship, and he says, okay, let's push this thing out from the shore. And there, he had a teaching time, a time of teaching. And we're not told what he taught. So often I wish I knew some of these things, what happened during these times. We're not told what he taught in this particular time. But there was a time of teaching. So that's the first thing. He takes command of the ship. The second thing I noticed, that he commands them to go fishing. They had been fishing. He had called them. They'd left that. Now he calls them to go fishing again. Now, isn't that interesting? And this is in verse 4. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Well, they had left the fishing business. They went back to it. And they meet Jesus again. He says, okay, let's go fishing. You're fishing? Let's go. And they went. And Jesus says, let your nets down for a big catch, a draught, for a big one. Let your nets down. And Peter immediately makes a protest. It's kind of an interesting protest. He calls him master. You see that. But he makes a protest, but he doesn't give Jesus any time to respond. Look what he says. He says, master, excuse me, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. You say, we go fishing? Look, we've fished all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, he very quickly says, he doesn't let Jesus respond. He'd been with Jesus long enough to know he couldn't let Jesus respond, probably. It's like, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And I'm not a fisherman, but I can easily imagine, had I fished all night and not caught anything and somebody told me to go back out, it's like, are you crazy? I'm not interested in doing this again. But at your word, we will do it. You know, and that's kind of the position of Peter here. And so what happens? You know what happens. When they let the net down this time, there were so many fish, the net begins to break. So Peter calls his partners, James and John, come on over here with your boats. And they fill that boat too. And in the process, the boats begin to sink. The boats begin to sink. And can't you imagine if you're Peter and you're pulling these fish in, you're thinking, I was out here all night. I never caught one thing. I don't understand where all these came from, but they're here. And then the boat sinks. That just adds insult to injury. It's just like now our boats can't even hold them. And it's just like Peter has had it. And I want you to notice his response now in verse 8. He says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What is he saying? What is Peter saying in this situation? Peter was just completely undone. When he says, depart from me, some translations would say, just give up on me. And I think that's fairly accurate in trying to describe what was happening here. He says, just give up on me. You know, several weeks ago, you asked me to go fishing. Or to leave fishing, and I left it. And I followed you. You asked me to follow you, and I followed you. But here I am fishing again, and I'm not doing a very good job of what I'm doing again here, not even here. He probably felt like he failed him when he called him the first time. Now he feels like he's failed in fishing again. And so he says, just give up on me. And I can't help but think that Peter also remembered that soon after he met Jesus the first time, Jesus had looked at Peter and said, your name is Simon, but you shall be called Peter, which means a rock, or Cephas, you mean a rock. And I can imagine about this time Peter is thinking, Jesus, I am no rock. I am a sinful man. That's who I am. I'm a sinful man. I'm not going to make it. I don't know why you're calling me again. I failed you how many times? Just give up on me, because I'm not worth it. I think the value of this text is that we find ourselves in this story so easily. Who hasn't been there? Which one of us haven't been here? We get disappointed by our failures, and they are many. And sooner or later, we find ourselves thinking, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm worth it. I don't know why you're spending any time with me. You might as well spend some time with someone where you'd get more for your money. And Jesus has a very interesting response in verse 10 to Peter in that whole scenario. He said, fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Let's look at these words very quickly. Fear not. Peter was very fearful. So are we when we failed. I'm always very fearful when I failed, when I know I've disappointed my Lord. When there are those times when I come to the end of myself, I'm always very fearful. Just like Peter. But the interesting thing is, Peter had made a confession. He said, I am a sinful man. And the interesting thing about confession is that enables Jesus to pick up the pieces and move us on. That's what confession does. Confession makes a break with the past. Peter said, I'm a sinful man. He made a break, and Jesus said, fear not. You made the break. And that enabled Jesus to say the next word, from henceforth, because you made confession. Now Jesus could say, from now on. See, okay, we broke with the past, let's move on. And Jesus is moving him on. Just like he moves us on. If we're willing to come clean. If we're willing to make confession. If we come to the end of ourselves, Jesus says, okay, now you're where I'd like you to be. Let's move on from here, from henceforth. Thou shalt catch men. And that's my conclusion. Thou shalt catch men. That's spoken to a fisherman. Those are fishermen's terms. Catch men. You're good at fishing, Peter. It's the way you're gifted. It's the way I made you. Now we're going to take those gifts. We're going to catch men. We're going to catch men. God is asking you and I this afternoon to consecrate the gifts that He has given to us to His service. That's what He's asking us today. What are you good at? What can you do? Oh, I know we don't like to ask ourselves or look at ourselves like, what can we do or what we're good at? No, there's something about us that we don't want to go there. You're making a mistake. You need to go there. You need to look in the mirror and ask, what can I do? How have I been gifted? What has God given to me? Let me give you some ideas. I've got several jotted down here, and I'm just trying to hopefully touch a heartstring in somebody's heart. Can you type? Do you love children? Are you a caring person? See, these are the way God has made us. Different ways. Can you sing? Can you walk into other people's shoes? Can you empathize with people? You know, a lot of people can't do that. Can you empathize? Can you feel what other people are going through? Can you teach? Can you take something that is very difficult and reduce it down to simple terms so someone can understand it? Can you teach? Do you like to work? A lot of people like to work. So many people no longer are able to work because of age or of physical disability. But can you work? Can you climb that ladder and clean out that gutter? There's some people here who can't do that anymore. So somebody needs to do that. Can you work? See, you say, I'm not good at anything, but can you work? Isn't it interesting how if we take what we can do and consecrate it to God, how He can use us? And you think, well, I'm not this, I'm not that, Don't compare yourself to other people. Just ask God, help me to understand what I can do and how you have made me. Can you bake? Can you pray? Can you sew? You see, all these things you can use to serve God with. All these things. Are you able to make money? Oh, everybody wants that gift, don't they? Are you able to make money, or are you keeping it all for yourself? Let me say it like this. If Jesus could bring all of those fish underneath that boat, if Jesus could do that, what can He do with a human being that can think or talk or walk or care and love and speak. If he could do that with fish, what could he do with a person who would consecrate himself to his service? What could he do? This morning, Todd mentioned Vance Havner. I'm going to mention him again, that old Southern preacher from the last 1900s. I remember him on a tape hearing him say that someone came to him one time wringing their hands. Oh, I just wish the Lord would use me. Just wish the Lord would use me. And Vance Havner looked at him saying, he's using every one of us just as much as he can. I've never forgotten that. He's using every one of you just as much as he can. The question is, are you available? Are you available? I haven't talked much to Dana. I'm talking to all of you. I'm talking to myself. Am I available? You may have heard the call before and you may have gone back to fishing. But if you come to the end of yourself, Jesus Christ would just love to use you. Would this be that day? Dane has answered a call. Would you hear a call? Would you be willing to serve your Lord? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit that moves in our hearts. And on this day of recognizing a call that was given to a brother, I pray that every soul in this congregation would hear your call and be willing and available to answer it. Father, we confess as Peter, we have messed up as well. There have been times, Lord, when we haven't done so good at this. But Father, we're just here this afternoon to say, I'm a sinful man. We've come to the end of ourselves. We're here to place ourselves into your hands. Now use us for your glory in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I have here in my hands something that is called a baton. A baton is used in a relay race. And it's used in a race where there's several sets of runners on the same team. And as one runner goes around the track, he then takes and he's carrying this and passes it off to the next runner. And the number runner. And then as he comes down the track, he passes it off to the next and the next runner. I think you catch the symbolic reason for the baton. I have two inscriptions on this baton. The first one just simply says on the backside, Calvary Chapel, 1974, date our congregation started. But more importantly, on the front is the inscription, Thy Word is Truth. Dana Cumlin. I'd just like to talk to you about that word just for a minute. We all recognize that as a verse from John 17:17. And the setting of that verse is Jesus in his high priestly prayer. He's praying to the Father. And one of the things he does is he prays for not only his disciples, but all those that come after with us. And he says in the verse before something about the fact that, you know, they're in the world, we are in the world, but not in the world. And then in verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Talking to God. God's word is truth. Sanctifies us. And then I want to leave this as a reminder to you. And I appreciate so much how Todd decided this morning to preach the word. There's a lot of voices today that are telling us, go this way, go that way. Accept this, accept that. Stick to the word. Stick to the word of God. And I think that is really, really important. There's two parts to the word, really, that you're only one, but it's the living word, that's Jesus Christ himself. John refers to him as the word. And it's the written word. He's given us that. Stick to the word. Preach the word. You know, when that runner that has the baton and coming around and understand that it's they do a lot of practicing and passing the baton. They have a certain way to do it, and I have practiced it before. But I'm pretty sure that that runner that passes it off doesn't just turn away and walk away. But I can see that runner taking that baton and handing it over and saying, go, Dan, go. And I encourage you. And I will be that kind of encouragement to you in the days ahead that keep on running. And may the Lord bless you. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord created space to shine upon you and be gracious of you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you.
This wasn't in our schedule, I guess, for me to share, but I'm planning on sharing with the congregation on Sunday night, kind of my first address to the church at Bishop, I guess. And a lot of you won't be here, but a lot of visitors. And I just want to express my appreciation to Tom and the team. I view the other team members as dear brothers, elder brothers. Most of you, maybe all of you, know that my dad has been gone for a long time. done a wonderful job of being my stepfather, I guess, and my adopted father. I've asked him already, and when he sees the caller ID, he says, "Oh no, him again." But it seems like very often when I'm working on something, or it doesn't have to be a spiritual problem, it could be an electrical problem or whatever it is, it's just comes when I call. And he usually knows who to call and get the right answer. But I appreciate this whole process we've been through. The Spirit has been shown by Tom. And like you said, I felt all along it's not a grudging thing. Man, I have to give this up because they're taking it from me. And it's not I'm tired of this and I want to get out of it. I want to do this right while I can this way. I have the confidence that he's still standing there watching the time go around the track, and he's doing everything he can to cheer us on and support us. God bless you.
Bow your heads, please. Father, this afternoon we come to you. We're so thankful again, Lord, for your presence. We just want to bless you, Lord. You brought us through this service. We've seen you work. We just want to thank you for allowing us to be a part of your family, a part of your kingdom. Lord, we ask your blessing on Dana and Regina and on their family. We ask for strength, Lord. We ask for grace, Lord, for the days that are ahead. And for the church family here, Father, we pray that you would help us all to be supportive of Dana Regina. And Father, to do our part to make this transition an easy one. Bless Tom and Marge. We just ask that you would be close to them, Father. Help them, Lord, to realize this is not the end. But Father, you're still allowing them to do a work here. Dismiss us now with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.